You can stretch your legs. You can get up as often as you want. If you want to walk up and down the aisle, which is great for blood flow. If you need to go to the bathroom because you're super hydrating because it's almost race day. I just think the aisle seat is the way to go if you're, you know, traveling to and from, because even the way home, you're going to be super hydrating. You're going to be needing to stretch those legs, get that blood going. So if you can pick an aisle seat, that would be my suggestion.
If you are constantly worried about getting injured or you don't know how to get faster as a runner and you want to continue to run for stress relief, then this is the podcast for you. Welcome to Healthy Runner, the only place that provides you with training tips, injury recovery, and prevention tools with actionable strategies by experts in the running industry so you can develop a stronger running body and feel confident that you can overcome any obstacle as a runner. I'm your host, Dr. Dwayne Scotty, avid runner, running physical therapist and coach, educator, founder of Spark Healthy Runner, where we help dedicated runners get stronger, run faster, and enjoy lifelong injury-free running with the perfect online running coach, even if you've been told to stop running with an injury or you think coaching is just for fast runners. Learn more about our signature coaching program at learn.sparkhealthyrunner.com. Every week, we help a runner just like you learn how to consistently get in your mental clearing miles and even hit PRs well into your 40s, 50s, and beyond. Make sure you subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts or follow the show on Spotify so you don't miss the next episode. Thanks for joining me. Now on to the show. How do you travel for a race? There's no need to stress about a destination marathon or half marathon. Overcome fear with this four-step race travel guide. Step one, travel arrangements. Step two, reservations. Step three, packing list. And step four, travel day tips. Welcome to episode 222 on the Healthy Runner Podcast, where we help you get stronger, run faster, and enjoy lifelong injury-free running. I have Coach Whitney Lacombe from our Healthy Runner coaching team with me here today, and she is going to share four key tips on traveling stress-free for your next race. Welcome back on the show, Coach. It's race season, and people are making some traveling arrangements, so I am looking forward to talking all things traveling for races.
Yes, I am too. I actually ran into a friend this morning on a run who is going to be running Marine Corps in the fall and was like, I tried to make a reservation for my hotel and it's already crazy expensive. So this is perfect timing for spring races, fall races, any race coming up. These are the must know tips if you are going to travel for a race.
Oh my goodness. This is going to be like super, super helpful. I already saw some of the things that you have listed. And I was like, wow, I'd never even thought about that. And I am rocking my Run Disney garb today because that was the last race that I traveled to. So I'm going to probably learn some things new. I'm going to be able to implement into my next race. So for those new listeners, do you mind just giving us a little bit of brief intro on who you are, what you do, why do you love what you do?
Yeah. So my name is Whitney Lacombe. I live in Tucson, Arizona. I am one of the running coaches on the Spark Healthy Runner coaching team. And I was an adult onset runner. Running is easier than words for me. And I just have a passion for running. I love sharing everything that I've learned with anybody that's willing to listen. And honestly, my husband loves the fact that this is what I do because I don't have to talk to him about running anymore. So it's fantastic.
It's so true, right? it's so true. And yeah, speaking of kind of destination races, how many have you done or have you had to prepare for with travel arrangements?
So most of my races, our destination, air quotes, because even my hometown race, which isn't really in my hometown, it's in Mesa, Arizona, which is about a 2-hour drive from me, we stay overnight for. So I went back and counted, and I think it's been 8 official races that I've traveled for. I've done tons of races at this point. I just Mesa was my 40th half marathon. I'm preparing for marathon number 7. So I've done a lot of races, but a lot of them were the local little small Tucson races that I didn't need to travel for. But I have plenty of experience traveling for races. It's kind of just what I do. It's just part of the course now.
And you traveled for New York last year.
I did.
Right. What are some other ones you traveled for? I know last year also Flying Pig, right?
Flying Pig. I did the half last year. So I've gone to Spokane, Washington. I did a half marathon up there. My husband went to Gonzaga University, which is a very small university. If you follow basketball, you've probably heard of that. big upset. We're out of the Sweet 16. Whatever it
UConn,
is now.
Still alive. UConn.
That's who we're rooting for now is UConn because U of A is out too. But I did that one. I don't know if you consider Connecticut a race that I traveled for because I happened to be there and we did a 5K with my son. But I needed all of my stuff. So I guess I did travel technically to that race. I did a race in California. I've done lots of them in Phoenix, the Phoenix area. Flying Pig. I did New York. I'm going to Flying Pig in about 4.5 weeks again. So traveling to Cincinnati, Ohio from Arizona is quite a trek. I'm doing New York again in the fall.
Is that a direct flight, by the way, to an aside? Oh, okay. I was going to say, probably not.
I have to stop in Dallas.
Okay.
So, yeah, which is great. I'll talk about that. Having a layover is actually a good thing.
Okay. So. All right. Awesome. So yeah, you definitely have a wealth of experience and you've certainly helped many of the athletes within our coaching program who are traveling to their races for their goal races. So this is going to be super informative. And guys, with this episode comes a download, our race day blueprint that Coach Whitney really put together. That includes 10 tips to crush your race. So today is going to be like all about the travel aspect, but in this download, you're also going to be able to get this free guide for executing the perfect race day strategy, where we have kind of 10 proven tactics to run a great race, feel strong and confident. You get your race ready checklist, your race day game plan, all included with that, that you can kind of print out, fill out for your race. So make sure you get that download in the show notes. I guess this episode also, if you're following in our framework for our 6 steps to grow as a runner in our running journey, this really fits into the race strategy bucket, right? Because we're talking like races. Remember, this is like the landscaping when we talk about like, you know, 6 steps to like building a strong, durable home that will last a lifetime. This is like the, you know, the extras for those runners who like to run races, like to challenge themselves. If you don't like running races, then totally cool, totally fine. This episode would probably not be the best episode for you. Unless you like to run and travel, you could probably pick up some tips as well, which I've been certainly traveling the East Coast. I just got back from Atlanta for my daughter's volleyball tournament. So a lot of some of these race tips for travel, I still need to implement for my training runs that I do in different cities while we are traveling for volleyball tournaments. So you'll definitely get a lot out of that. But we're going to really be filling kind of, your race strategy bucket with a bunch of goodies and tips from Coach Whitney for your race traveling needs. And guys, remember, when you execute like these 6 steps to growing your running journey, you'll not only feel confident and getting stronger and faster, but you're going to stay healthy, enjoy the process, and really crush some races along the way. So make sure you implement all 6 steps of your running journey and not only focusing on the running itself. We got to address mindset, strength training, run plan, nutrition, recovery, and then the race strategy. So today is all about race strategy. So why don't we get into step number one? What is step number one, Coach?
Step number one would be your travel arrangements. Now, this is kind of a broad category because it depends on how far you're going and all of that fun stuff. So let's say you're traveling to Cincinnati from Arizona. You want to make sure you have a hotel or an Airbnb. You want to make sure you book your flights, but you need to do these things early. Don't wait until like 2 weeks before to try and find a hotel, because you, let me tell you, you're either not going to find anything or the price is going to be insanely expensive. So as soon as you register for the race, really start looking into the cost. You can set Google alerts for flight prices. Like when they drop below the normal price, it'll alert you and say, oh, the flights are cheaper right now. So do that. I did that. My mom and I did that this year, and it worked out really well. We were able to snag those flights. Great, because she's coming from New York, meeting me in Cincinnati. So actually trying to logistically figure that out so we arrive at the same time was kind of a nightmare. But book your flights early. Book your hotel early. Pay attention to the timing that you're booking those flights. Do you want to leave your house at 3 a.m. to make a 5 a.m., 6 a.m. flight? Maybe you do. Maybe you want to have the rest of the day in Cincinnati to explore, or New York, or wherever you're going. You might want to have a layover. I enjoy having a layover, especially when I don't travel with children. I like getting off the plane, stretching my legs, getting to use the bathroom, grabbing something to eat. I just think it's more enjoyable than being on an airplane for 5 hours. Now, if you are traveling with your family, you might want to have that direct flight because, trust me, traveling with kids, layovers can be a nightmare. So those are things to consider, right? Yep. Also, the flight home. Pay attention to the times that your flights are booked for or can be booked for. You might want to sleep in. If you're traveling home the day after your race, you might want to sleep in and take an afternoon flight. Or you might want to get home early. Like this year, I my flight returning lands in Tucson at like 11 a.m, which is perfect because then I'm home when the kids get home from school. We have our Monday night, you know, commitments that we have every week that I'll be able to go to. So that might be a factor. Hotels, like I said, you want to book those early because they get expensive. But the hotel, you want to look into the location because you need to decide, do you want to be close to the start line? Do you want to be close to the finish line? Does it not matter? Do you want to be close to restaurants? You need to look at a Google map maybe and figure out where the start and finish is. Is it a point to point? Is it a looped course? Do you want to be near the shuttle to get you to the start? There are so many options when it comes to where to stay. You have to figure out what's going to make the most sense for you. Now, I was lucky when I stayed in New York. I knew I was going to be taking the Uber to Staten Island Ferry, so it really didn't matter. But I wanted to be close enough to a subway that after the race, I would be able to just get on the subway, get off the subway, and walk a few blocks. That worked out really well. So for me, the end point was more important. For Flying Pig, it's kind of a looped course. So where we're staying, we're actually doing an Airbnb. Where we're staying is a 3-block walk from the apartment to the start and like a 4-block walk to the finish. Like nice. They're super close. Last year, it was probably a 1-mile walk where we stayed. It was a great location. It was great to close to restaurants, all of that. But the walk back after the race was a little long. And I had, you know, I collected all the goodies at the end of the race. So I'm walking back with all the goodies and,
right.
You know, my medals like clanging against my chest and it was pouring down rain and it could have been a shorter walk. So
trying to juggle things, all that is, that's a little, I think you bring up a good point there is thinking about if it is a point to point, because I was thinking about that when I signed up for Wineglass because it is point to point and I strategically booked my hotel right at the finish line and it's the one that's associated with the race. So I was like, score that I actually got a room there. Because you figure, I don't know, at least I think, after the race, like you just mentioned, juggling everything. And, you know, you're not going to want to really wait to, you know, hop on a shuttle and go back, wait in long lines. I was like, I'd rather be closer to the hotel so you can just like go shower, you know, start your recovery process, get, you know, food, all those things that you need after the race. Great point with loop course versus like out and back. And like, do you wind up staying closer to the start line or the finish line?
Yeah. And there's also, I mean, if you have family that lives nearby or you're going to be renting a car, which is another thing you would need to make arrangements for. A lot of these are not close to airports. So you might need a car, but is there somebody going with you that's not running that could shuttle you to the start? Is there a shuttle bus that the race provides that's going to pick you up in a certain spot and take you to the start? When we run Mesa, whether you do the half or the full, the bus picks you up at the host hotels, which is right at the finish line. The buses will pick you up. They drive you either to the 13.1 or the 26.2, and then you run back and you end at that spot. So for that race, we actually like to stay somewhere else because we just take an Uber to the start, but staying near the finish is more convenient because that's where the shuttles pick you up, if that makes sense.
Yep.
And with the car rental, that's also something you need to do early because they run out of cars. And even if you have the reservation for the car, there's still that chance. So just make sure you download the Uber app and just in case, you know, check all the boxes because you never know. We were in Houston, not for a race, but for family travel, and we had reserved a car and they were out. How do you run out of rental cars?
Wow. Yeah.
So just kind of make sure you've got a backup plan if you do plan to rent a car. So I will say making all of those travel arrangements early on, one, you can get a better price, a better deal, better location. You end up having more options. So do all of your travel arrangements as early as you can.
All right. So the planning needs to happen, right? Like as soon as you sign up for this race, you need to literally start planning and make the travel arrangements early and often, right? And make sure you have all the bases covered. So what I heard is kind of hotel itself, think about your location, think about rental car, think about your flight, right? Whether or not you do want to, you know, have that layover, do you want a direct flight? Any other things with the actual flight that you want to mention in terms of kind of planning? Do you need to worry about like seating and stuff like that at this point?
So that's a personal thing. One, I hate sitting in the middle because I always end up like this, neck like squished between two people. So I hate sitting in the middle.
Oh, yeah.
The earlier you book your flight, the more options you have, right? So for me, when I book, we live in Tucson. There are no direct flights anywhere. So everything has a layover, which is kind of nice. So for that first flight, I try to be as close to the front of the plane as possible. For the second flight, I really don't care. But that first flight, just in case something happens and we are delayed or whatever, I know I'm getting off the plane, I don't know, a few seconds earlier, but it makes me feel better. Another thing that I personally like to do is I like to sit on an aisle seat. Sometimes it's inconvenient. You fall asleep and your seatmates need to get up to go to the bathroom. You know, it's worth it because you are on the aisle. You can stretch your legs. You can get up as often as you want. If you want to walk up and down the aisle, which is great for blood flow. If you need to go to the bathroom because you're super hydrating because it's almost race day. I just think the aisle seat is the way to go if you're, you know, traveling to and from, because even the way home, you're going to be super hydrating. You're going to be needing to stretch those legs, get that blood going. So if you can pick an aisle seat, that would be my suggestion.
Yeah, no, I love the aisle seat myself, except for when, you know, the cart comes through and it like knocks in the elbow, which literally happened to me 2 days ago when we were flying back from Atlanta. I was like, oh man, I just got knocked out.
At least it didn't run over your foot.
Right. But yeah, no, you bring up a good point. You can get up and go to the restroom and you don't have to like feel like you're bothering anyone. This episode is powered by YouCan. Fuel smarter during a run with the best no sugar energy gel on the market, delivering up to 75 minutes plus of steady energy to power your best running performance. If you've been listening to this podcast and you know how important it is to fuel your body for your runs, especially those long runs and races. And one of the biggest questions we get from our athletes is, what should I take with me during a run in order to get that fuel in? And our Healthy Runner coaching team and I have been using YouCan Energy Gels for all of our long runs and races since it launched over a year ago now. We recommend it to all our athletes because it's not made up of sugar, which means it's easy on the stomach, especially for those of you who haven't responded to other gels. The other thing I love about it is the consistency is not thick like its competitors, so it goes down nice and easy, especially when you're running at a hard effort or it's really hot outside. And the other thing is it tastes amazing. So my personal favorite flavor is the strawberry banana with pineapple finishing in a close second.
However, the most important reason that we recommend it to our athletes, and I use it myself to power my runs, is because it provides that long-lasting energy that we need in order to crush that long run or race. So now that you're a part of our Healthy Runner community, you will get 20% off all your orders using the special link I have in the show notes. Just go to youcan.co, that's .co, not .com, /healthy runner, and use the code healthy runner during checkout when placing your order to get your 20% off. Go ahead and give YouCan Energy Gel a try for your next long run. Trust me, you won't regret it.
Yeah. And then as far as like staying, you talked about hotels. Does it matter, like hotel, Airbnb? Do you think for races, what are your thoughts?
It depends. I've done both. For New York, we did a hotel because I was literally there for like, let's see, we checked in at 4, we went to dinner, came back, I went to sleep, and I left the hotel at 5:30 in the morning. Hotel didn't matter. That was perfect. When I travel like to Cincinnati or if my family comes, I like the Airbnbs. I like knowing that not that I make a lot of noise, but I like knowing that I can get up and do stuff and not disturb everybody else that's staying in the hotel. Sometimes Airbnbs can actually be cheaper than staying in a hotel, especially if you have a group of people. Like when I go to Mesa, I run Mesa with my girlfriends. So there's 6 or 8 of us going. We cram into 2 rooms, but if we were going for a longer time or a further race, an Airbnb would make so much more sense. We would have more space. We would have the living room, the kitchen, you'd have multiple bathrooms, and you can kind of pick the style or the type of house you want. I just think Airbnb or VRBO or whatever they are, I think those are actually more convenient. You might not be able to get as close to the start or the finish or wherever you want to be as a hotel, but if you're going to Uber to the start anyways, it doesn't really matter. If you're going to take the shuttle and have to get to the shuttle, it really doesn't matter how far you are from there. You're going to have to park either way. So look at both. Look at the hotels, their location and their prices. Look at the Airbnbs, their prices, their locations. It's also nice to be in an Airbnb because you do have the kitchen. So right. If you don't want to go out to dinner the night before, which we'll talk about, you can make your own dinner right there. You can make your breakfast. You can make your coffee or whatever and not have to put your shoes on or a jacket or, you know, whatever. It's a little more convenient.
Yeah, no, we definitely are big fans of the Airbnbs, even just not even race, you know, family travel and just getting up and doing training runs and doing long runs. And yeah, like you mentioned, just having the ability to not wake up the girls and be in one room, you know, with like 2 beds and you're doing everything and they hear everything, just having a little more space, a little more spread out. And even we strategically booked the cabins at Disney for the race week. So we went for like family vacation the week before. And then for marathon weekend, we moved and changed our reservation from hotel that we were staying in Port Orleans. And then we went to the cabins. So we do have a full kitchen. So we have a living room area, which I had all of my gadgets out, my foam roller, yeah, you know, my massage, yeah, gun. I had everything laid out in the living room, you know, where I can kind of do a little warm up 3 a.m. When you're waking up that early for the Disney races and, you know, not bother anyone else who's sleeping. So, yeah, having a little more space is super helpful if you're traveling with family for races. When I did the Cape Cod Marathon last year, it was just me. It was a little solo vacation where, you know, hotel room worked out. But I think you mentioned, you bring up a good point in terms of like food. And, you know, if you're in a hotel, ideally, you definitely want to have a microwave and definitely a fridge in your hotel room and a coffee maker, right? More of a hot water kind of guy for tea, but you know, those are kind of very helpful amenities. It's rare now that hotels don't have fridges, but I was just in one this past weekend that didn't have a coffee maker in the room, like couldn't boil hot water. And I'm like, really? I haven't seen that in a while, but they didn't have it. And they certainly didn't have a microwave. So if I was running a race, I would be like, okay, you know, just cause like you said, you know, nothing new before race day and the food aspect and just, you know,
having that all set, like you know what exactly you're going to eat, I think is helpful and just decreases a little bit of that pre-race anxiety.
Yeah, I'm a creature of habit. I am super OCD when it comes down to like race week and race rituals, if you will. So yeah, having all of the things that you know you're going to need is definitely a must.
All right. So for travel arrangements and planning are kind of step one. What is step two?
Step two would be reservations. Now, we kind of talked about flight reservations, car reservations. This is more of your restaurants that you're going to be eating at. This is more of, are you going to be going out for an Italian dinner the night before? You want to book that as soon as those open. Now, a lot of places won't take reservations before a certain amount of time. Like I've been trying to book a reservation for New York for fall and they're not taking reservations yet. It's November, so we've got time. But I remember last year before Flying Pig, I called this one place and I said, do you have a reservation for, you know, it's just me and my mom for two people at some time at night. It didn't matter. And they were like, oh, that's the night before Flying Pig. Let me check. And luckily they were like, oh, it's just two of you. We can get you a reservation. But those places, people book up so fast. I remember going out to dinner with my parents before I ran New York, and we did have a reservation. It was at 5:30 because I like to eat early before a race. We didn't sit down until 6:15 because there were so many people and everybody was there for the race. Everybody's trying to carb load as well. You want to make your reservations as early as possible, and you want to think about when you want to eat. The earlier you go, the easier it's going to be to have to get a reservation. If it's just you by yourself, you can just eat at a bar, like the bar counter at a restaurant, and that'll be super easy. I would still try to make a reservation, but you can probably squeeze in somewhere. Two people, four people, pretty easy. If you've got a large group going, even if you're not going out the night before, maybe the night after, you need a reservation. So make those reservations for every single night you're going to be traveling. So let's say you get into a race on Thursday, you get to the race on Thursday, make a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, reservation until you leave, just so you know you've got somewhere to go.
Yeah, and I would also add in there, if you're not gonna have a sit down dinner and you're gonna do like quick service, make sure you look on Google Maps to make sure there's like quick service around you. Or now it does get a little easier now with like DoorDash and Uber Eats. We've been utilizing that these past like 6 months, which is super helpful. You know, if you're looking for some, you know, quick serve kind of deal stuff. But I would say kind of, you know, if you're not doing a sit down reservation, just making sure that there's other options around where you're staying and, you know, have an idea of, okay, there are these couple things that are around us and, you know, we'll decide on where we want to eat or where we want to order from. I think that's super helpful. So kind of making sure you cover every night, not just the night before the race.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Any other reservations that you want to mention besides kind of dinner, lunch reservations?
So if you're going to tourist around after your race, don't tourist before because you'll be tired on race day. So save that for later. You want to get your tickets or your reservations or whatever they are for the zoo, for the baseball game, for the concert, whatever you're going to do while you're at your destination. You want to make sure you have those tickets. You don't want to wait until the last day or the day of to hope you can possibly get a ticket. Like my mom and I went last year, we went to the Cincinnati Reds. They happen to have a baseball game going on that day. So I did my race, went home, showered, all the things, and then we went to the Reds game.
Oh, nice.
But we had the tickets already. We knew we were going to be doing that. So if that's something you want to do, or if you want, you're in San Diego and you want to go to the zoo, or you're in Disney and want to go to Disneyland World, make sure you have those reservations, you have those tickets, because chances are they're going to be pretty booked that weekend with all the extra people in town.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and Disney is like a whole nother animal. And I'm actually going to record because next week at the time of this recording, and actually this is going to be released this week, next week is sign up for Marathon Weekend 2025. So I'm going to actually share some Disney specific training and like race tips in an upcoming episode. But yeah, that's a, like a whole nother beast in terms of like reservations for food, because you got to do that months in advance. As soon as it like is released, you have to have your plan already to make those reservations. So great point with the sightseeing stuff. And yeah, I remember last year for New York, one of my athletes, Sandra, actually had tickets to Hamilton, the show, before the race. So like two nights before the race, which I thought was like phenomenal. Like what an inspirational show to like go see before you're like running the streets in New York. I was like, wow, what a great idea. Like I'm definitely going to try to do that and make that reservation when I do eventually run New York. Unfortunately, I didn't get into the lottery this year again. So one day I'll run New York. All right. So step number three, what's step number three in our race travel tips here?
Step number three is your packing list. Now, we do have a packing list as part of our race day blueprint, but that's more race, like what you need to take to the race. When I'm talking packing list, I'm talking everything, like your contact lenses, your toothbrush. You need to make a list. And now my husband thinks I'm insane, because on my phone, I have in my notes section a marathon packing list or a flying pig packing list. And you can put the bullet or the check mark bubbles in there. So when you pack it, you can check it and you get a little yellow check mark. You know you have it. But I mean, I've done enough races now that I just kind of add and adjust as the races come up. But I start thinking about a month out, what do I need? Okay, when I first thing in the morning, when I wake up, what is the first thing I do? Okay, I put in my contacts. Okay, I need to make sure I have enough contact lenses. I wear dailies, so one for every day, and then an extra one, just in case I drop it in the sink or something. Bring an extra. Okay, then I braid my hair. So I need the hair tie, but I also need the bottom hair tie because I braid it. And then I go through literally my entire day and mark down in my list what I do and what I need, so that there's nothing that I'm forgetting. But I start this about a month out. So as I remember things, like today I'm in the shower and I was like, I don't think I have toast blaze on my list. I got out of the shower, I added my toast blaze to my list. You know, it gives you enough time if you start that far out to remember all of the things. I also look at my days. So I'm just using Flying Pig because that's coming up. I get there on Thursday. Friday, we're going to the expo and there's a race that night. So I need an outfit to wear to the expo. That includes a top, a bottom, shoes, sock, all the things. Okay, but I also need to remember to bring a printed copy of my race confirmation so I can get all my bibs. Okay, that needs to go on the list. Then we do have the race that night. I need the outfit for the race, the leggings, the shoes, the socks, Body Glide, all of the things. Okay, then the next day, what am I going to do? Okay, I do the same thing. Okay, I've got all my race stuff listed. What about after the race? I'm going to want compression socks. I'm going to want my UFOs. I'm going to want toast blaze. I want my foam roller. That needs to go on the list. What else? A change of clothes. What are you doing that night? Are you going to Disney World? Do you need a change of clothes to wear to the park? Do you need a nice outfit to go out to dinner? Think about all of the things you're going to need and add them to the list. It might seem really tedious and like a really long list by the time you've gone through all of the days. But then when you're packing, you're going to know for a fact that you're not forgetting anything, that you have everything you need. Last thing you want to do is get to a race and be like, oh my goodness, I didn't pack my shoes. Like, what am I going to do? Because every training cycle, I have a nightmare that I've gotten to the race and I don't have any of my shoes. I don't have any of my clothes. And for some reason, like my kids packed my bag and it's like snacks and stuffies every race cycle, every training cycle. So make your list and literally go step by step, day by day, all the things you need.
Yeah. So not only what you need for the race, but what you're going to need before, what you're going to need after, what you're going to need for your recovery days after. Yeah. All great, great points. Yeah. Remembering all your gear gadgets, I like to call them. Yeah, toe splays, definitely necessary to kind of, you know, have those feet feeling fresh before the race and then even after the race to provide that little gentle stretch. Those are our friends at Nivoso toe splays. In case you haven't seen that, they are one of the highly recommended products that we recommend to our runners. So make sure you check out the link in our show notes for our special Healthy Runner discount.
I hope you are enjoying this episode and it is providing value for you. I wanted to take a brief moment to share a story of a real runner like you who is struggling with a common problem that you may be facing. Here is one of our athletes who got the guidance, support, and accountability from our Healthy Runner coaching team to get clarity and structure on the 6 steps to growing as a runner with personalized strength, nutrition, and run plans. I hope their story inspires you that there is hope to either get over your running injury or to continue getting faster or running longer so you can continue to get in those mental clearing miles and enjoy your running journey again. Here is their inspiring story.
Hi, I'm Gigi and I live in Los Angeles, California. And thanks to Coach Dwayne and the Healthy Runner community, last month I completed the New York City Marathon. Coach Dwayne was exactly what I was looking for after I had knee surgery last year. Not only is he a doctor of physical therapy, which helped me immensely, but he's also a certified running coach and a runner himself. His advice was spot on. From the little things, which can be the big things, like what shoes to wear and how to warm up properly, to fueling, which was a huge issue for me. I completed the marathon feeling strong. I never hit a wall. What wall? There was none. All of his advice was right on, and I highly recommend him.
I hope sharing that story inspired you and provided you some hope. If you want the one-on-one structure, accountability, and support from our Healthy Runner coaching team of experts, check out the behind-the-scenes video tour of our signature coaching program you just heard about, including other stories from runners who are just like you and were struggling with the same sticking points before they signed up for our program. Just head to learn.sparkhealthyrunner.com to learn more and book your strategy call with me today. Now let's get back into this episode.
Yeah. Any other packing list items that you wanted to mention?
There are so many. So make sure that you bring everything you might need, and that's including food, because you don't want to rely on the local grocery store to have the type of Pop-Tarts you like, or the pretzels that you like, or the brand of peanut butter, whatever it is, bring it with you. And I know that sounds crazy, but you don't want to try anything new on race day, but you also don't want to try anything new like the day before, because it could upset your stomach. So right now, my family thinks I'm nuts, but they always do. I have a box of Pop-Tarts, a box of graham crackers, and a bag of pretzels sitting on my dresser because I'm hoarding them and hiding them for my children. Because I know that I'm going to take those as my snacks, like for the airplane, for the day before, all that. I bring my banana on the plane for race morning. But for a race, I always have a bagel and a banana. So I bring those with me. I'm not going to risk them having like super green or really overripe brown bananas. I'm going to bring one that's going to be good and like the perfect amount of brown spots. You know, you want to bring all that. You want to bring your electrolytes. You should be drinking these on travel day on the plane because you need to overhydrate while you're flying because you get dehydrated. But you also need to replace your electrolytes after the race. So you'll want to bring that. You want to make sure you have your sunscreen, your race fuel, all of the things that you're going to use need to come with you. Don't rely on a store, even if they have a running store that is local that you know you can get to. Don't rely on them having what you're going to want, because chances are you rely on it and they're going to be out that day because the race is coming up. So bring all of the things that you might need. Overpack. When I travel, I have a big old carry-on and a big old check-it bag because I put all the things in a backpack. So I've got, you know, I'm that person in the airport with all the bags, but it's not worth not having what you're used to and what you want. The other tip is put all of your race things in your carry-on. Do not check your race shoes. Do not check your race outfit. Do not check your gooders that you're going to wear. Do not check anything that you want during the race, because if they lose it, you don't have it, right? Or if it's delayed because you had a layover and your flights were all messed up and it went to Timbuktu, you're out. You have to buy a brand new pair of shoes, or you have to find a pair of shoes or a hat. Like, it's just not worth it. In terms of carry-on, I also like to make sure my backpack has enough space that if for some reason they say, oh, sorry, zone or groups 1, 2, and 3 took all the overhead space, you guys are going to have to check it to your destination. That's happened to me before. And I like started crying in the middle of the airport. And I'm like, what am I going to do? I have a race. Like, I ended up ditching all of my snacks and putting myself in my backpack. So now I leave enough room. If for some reason I need to put my race shoes and my outfit for the race in there, I know I at least have that. Because it's not, I won't risk it. It's just not worth it.
Yeah, no, excellent, excellent points. And I know I was thinking about that for my dopey challenge. I had the literally most expensive luggage ever. And I didn't even, I was definitely playing Russian roulette because I didn't have any of that in my carry-on, but I had like 2 pairs of super shoes and 2 other sneakers, you know, because we were there for 2 weeks too. And I remember taking a picture of that luggage. I'm like, this is literally the, like, this luggage, the items in this luggage are like easily $800-900 if you add it all up. Yeah. I was definitely playing a little Russian roulette there, but that's a good point to, at minimum, bring your race day shoes that you plan on wearing in your carry-on. That would be a really good idea. So I wish we had this conversation before.
Right. I also put all of my race day fuel, like my gels, or some people use the little chew blocks. I also put those in my carry-on. Now, some people will be like, oh, but it's a liquid and blah, blah, blah. If you say I am running a marathon, they will use that like bomb scanner thing and like go over it. And they're like, okay, you're good. The only time I've ever had anything food related confiscated was when I was coming back from Connecticut. My mom, I found these great chocolate bars from Tony's Chocolate something. And I had 8 of the giant chocolate bars, and they're wrapped in foil. So they triggered the x-ray machine and they confiscated my candy bars. But that was not race related. But I've never had an issue taking my gels or my powdered Gatorade or whatever it is. I've never had an issue. So bring that stuff in your carry-on as well.
Yeah, it makes it easier to bring in your carry-on. I remember I had issue with, I think, my essential amino acids a couple of times. Got scanned, then they had to like test it. It was like a long, rigorous process. And then depending upon how much you have, so like if you take a full canister, they might take that away from you. So you have to keep it in like small quantities. Protein, I think I've been good with in my carry-on. But yeah, it is a little annoying when they have to test it and you're like have to be that person that goes to the side, holds everyone up. But yeah, good point. I think gels are totally fine because they're usually individually wrapped and they're sealed and they don't meet, you know, they meet the qualifications for not as many ounces that you're not allowed. But yeah, that, especially for the dopey challenge, like with all 4 races and how many gels I needed to bring, holy cow. And then my wife running the half marathon too. Like, yeah, I had a lot of UCAN edge gels with me as I was traveling for that race. All right. So we hit, I know you had mentioned kind of some sleep specific items that you might want to add to your packing list.
So these might be things that you don't normally think of or don't normally need, right? Because, I mean, sleep is sleep, but before race, it's even more important. So last year I didn't do this and I regretted it and ended up having to run to Kroger and buy the things. And now I have a pink fuzzy sleep mask for my eyes that I keep in my travel bag. But there, you never know where you're going to be or what the noise or light situation is going to be in the hotel room, in the Airbnb. Last year, our Airbnb was over a bar, which sounds great. until you realize that the bar doesn't close until 2 a.m. and the spotlights are shining right into your bedroom and it's loud. And you want to bring an eye mask, a sleep eye mask, to block out any light. It'll help you sleep. It actually makes you sleep better because you're not like staring at the clock. I feel like when I don't wear it, I'm constantly like, okay, I have 6 hours left. Okay, I have 4 hours left. Checking the clock nonstop. So I find I sleep better when I wear it. The other thing you want to consider are earplugs, because you never know what the noise situation is going to be like, or what your significant other is going to snore or not snore that night, or your neighbor's TV is on, or whatever. Bring a pair of earplugs. You can do those cheap foam ones. You can do the wax ones, which are my favorite because they kind of like actually mold to your ear and they don't fall out in the middle of the night. Bring those. If you don't need them, you don't need them. But it's better to have them than to not have them, because you will sleep so much better. And I know people say, well, if I put in earplugs, I won't hear my alarm. Put your phone under your pillow, turn the volume off or up as high as it goes. Have your significant other or whoever's with you also set an alarm. You're not going to sleep through it. You will hear it, I promise. But getting some good sleep is going to be key.
Yeah, deep sleep is important. And sleep mask I use every night now, which I love because it does help me get deeper sleep. And yeah, earplugs I definitely could have used in Disney, as I mentioned in my recap episode for that one. Fireworks going off at night when you're trying to go to sleep. Yeah, if you're in a resort close to the park and the fireworks, that was definitely an issue for me trying to get to sleep. And yeah, you know, one thing that I love now is with Apple Watch and setting your alarm on your phone. I always wear my Apple Watch to bed now, and it vibrates on my wrist. So I don't even have to wake up to like an annoying alarm sound anymore, because the alarm goes off my wrist and the vibration like wakes me up. So like, I feel like more happy when I wake up. It's like more pleasant than having like, you know, this loud alarm sound or song like blaring and like startling you as you wake up.
Yeah.
So if you guys have an Apple Watch and you haven't tried that trick yet and you're worried that you're not going to be able to hear, that might be helpful for you as you wake up.
I think Garmin does that as well. I don't sleep with my watch on, but I'm pretty sure Garmin has an alarm that'll do the same thing.
Yep.
So check it out. It's a good option.
Makes sense. All right, we're down to the fourth step here. What is the fourth tip or step in our race travel journey?
Number four is travel day tips. The day you are actually traveling to the race, not the race itself. So my number one travel day tip is to hydrate. Overhydrate. Like more than you normally would, because when you are traveling, especially on a plane, you get dehydrated. Whether you are drinking your normal amount or not, you need to drink more. You need to also make sure you're having some electrolytes too. You don't want to just have water. So if you like Element, if you like the Yucan Hydrate, if you like Gatorade, whatever electrolyte supplement you prefer, drink it. Take it on the airplane with you. You don't even have to contaminate your fancy Stanley cup, whatever bottle you use. You can use one of those disposable Poland Springs plastic bottles and mix it in there, drink it, and then enjoy water. I really, really recommend making sure that you have an electrolyte mix with you on the airplane. They won't let you take it through security, so you'll have to make it once you get through. But bring a bottle and make sure you can make something.
Yeah, no, definitely good point about the hydration piece and electrolytes, like preloading. A lot of people think of it during the race, but it's really key to start that process before the race. And Brooke had talked about that, our registered dietitian, two or three episodes ago on the importance of kind of the electrolytes for race day. And she had mentioned preloading as well in that episode.
Yeah. You also want to wear compression socks, not sleeves. You want the socks because you want the blood flow coming out of your up out of your feet as well. You don't want to trap it down there. Wear your compression socks. You might look funny whatever. Nobody cares. Honestly, you care, but everybody else is going to be paying attention to themselves and not what you're doing. Wear your compression socks. You should also be planning to get up from your seat on the plane. So maybe the aisle seat is going to be the best for you. And walk around at least every hour. And you can always say, oh, excuse me, I need to go use the bathroom again. Or be very polite or whatever. Just get up, use the bathroom. Don't use the bathroom. You probably will since you're overhydrating. You're going to need to go anyways. Get up, walk up and down the aisle a few times, and then go back to your seat. Another thing that I recommend is when you're sitting on the airplane. Now, I have really short legs. This might be harder for normal height people, but you want to kick your feet or point and flex your toes 20 to 30 times every 20 to 30 minutes, maybe. Just get that blood flowing. You don't want to be just sitting stagnant like a potato in your seat the entire flight. It will help with the blood flow. You will feel so much better, one, when you get off the plane, but two, on race day, if you are keeping the blood going in your lower extremities.
Yeah, no, great point. And even for someone like myself with longer legs, even if you have your knees bent, you could do some seated calf raises. So you're contracting your calf muscles. That's just going to help pump some of the fluid, the blood out of the lower extremities, gets things moving, improves that blood flow. The muscles can act as a pump for your circulatory system. So that's all good. And number one, preventing blood clots, but also kind of keeping things moving around. They're not getting too stiff. And yes, I am definitely a compression sock wearer on all flights, regardless if I'm racing or not, just because I am usually recovering from the training run anyway, and want to feel fresh, and I don't want to get any extra swelling, you know, while flying with changes in pressure, all of that. And yeah, I proudly wear my compression socks with my shorts. I don't care. I'm like, yeah, whatever, man. I'm a healthy runner, you know, whatever. Judge me, whatever. I don't care. I'm going to feel good, and I have no shame whatsoever. But don't forget to actually wear socks. If you're traveling from warm places, some people forget, like my wife just did this past weekend in Atlanta, and you might be like in your flip-flops, and then you have to go through security, and they take your shoes off, and then you're walking barefoot through the security lines. Oh. We were like skeeved out. She was skeeved out trying to. So make sure you're wearing socks when you are flying, because you don't want to walk barefoot in the security lines. And I saw a lot of people doing it. So this is fairly common. And I'm sure someone may have done that themselves who are listening to this. But yeah, remember those socks. And, you know, if you're a runner, wear the compression socks.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, sometimes it can be a conversation starter too. You never know. You might end up on the flight sitting next to somebody who's running the same race as you. So you could make a friend to hang out with in the Star Corral. It's a great win-win, you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Another thing I recommend bringing are your snacks. Like I said, there was one time I had to toss my snacks. It was like the saddest day ever. Bring your snacks. Don't rely on buying something in the airport, because chances are it's not going to be what you're used to. You're going to try something new, which is a big no-no, and you're going to end up with an upset stomach or something. So bring your snacks, bring your pretzels, bring your Pop-Tarts, your Fig Newtons, your Teddy Grahams, whatever you normally snack on leading up to a long run or a race, bring it. Bring it with you.
Excellent. Snacks are good. How about carbonated drinks and chewing gum?
No. Big no-no. Don't do it. I know everybody gets excited when they get on a plane because, oh, look, I can get a soda. I can get this. I can do that. Oh, my ears are going to hurt. I need to chew gum. Don't do it. Carbonated drinks and chewing gum can cause intestinal gas, which, she just said gas. No, I'm serious. It will cause gas and bloating and discomfort that you do not need. Save those things. If you want to indulge in a soda and gum, do it after your race. Do it on the flight home. But you don't need that extra possible intestinal issue. I know I don't drink carbonated beverages, period, just because they do dehydrate me. And, you know, the only time I ever have a soda is when I have a migraine, because the chemicals in a Coca-Cola, a hard, fully leaded Coca-Cola, interact with my medication and help to kick it. Other than that, you don't need it. You don't need carbonated water. drink plain water, add a little lemon squeeze to it, and you're good. Save the carbonation, save the chewing gum for after your race. If you need to pop your ears, you can do the old-fashioned plug your nose and blow thing, or you can swallow, but don't chew gum. I know it sounds silly, but don't do it.
Yeah, all good points there. And then if noise-wise for the plane.
Oh, yeah. So I'm a big plane sleeper. I know a lot of people say that they can't sleep on a plane, but I have my dad's jeans, and as soon as that engine kicks on and it starts rumbling, I'm sound asleep, like most uncomfortable positions ever. So clearly the noise doesn't bother me, but a lot of people are bothered by the noise on a plane, whether it's a crying baby or the guy talking, sitting next to you that doesn't realize how loud he is. Just bring headphones. If you can bring noise canceling headphones, that's going to be even better. But even if you just plug into your phone and listen to some calming music or put on a white noise app, it will actually calm your body down and make the stress on your body less, which is what we want before a race. We don't want you to be all anxious because, oh, the baby behind me has been crying or the kid's been kicking my seat. Or, you know, you can just put your headphones on, get into a zen zone and just mellow out. Watch a trashy show on Netflix that you've been saving, or like me, the murder documentaries. You know, just zone out. Don't listen to anybody else.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I cannot do a plane without like some noise canceling headphones, because yeah, you get that seat with the baby behind you and you feel terrible and you're like, I just feel bad for this mom. But it will distract you from either relaxing or, in my case, like catching up on some work, because you're like confined to an area. You can't move anywhere. You can't, you know, procrastinate, do anything else. It gives me like uninterrupted time with my laptop and, you know, to bang out some work, which is often what I wind up doing on a plane. Yeah, so that was super helpful there. And I know you had sent me your actual list that was specific for Flying Pig Weekend 2024. And it's definitely like way too much to kind of go through on this episode. But if it's okay with you, if we can include that in the blog that goes with this episode, just to give folks an idea of, you know, what you've gone through to prepare for Flying Pig, I think that would be super neat. But is there any like big highlights or anything like that you want to emphasize that you haven't talked about today?
So a few things I didn't talk about, but things you might want to consider bringing would be, I call them toss clothes, the outfit that you might wear over your race outfit if it's cold, that you're going to donate to whatever charity they're giving all the clothes to. Check the weather beforehand. You might want an extra sweatshirt. Do a zip up so you can easily take it off. You might want to bring a rain poncho. Is it going to be raining before the race? Sometimes. They don't take up much space. Just pack it. You never know what you're going to need. I also like to bring a trash bag. Now, I know this sounds silly. Actually, I bring two trash bags. One I bring that I can wear as a poncho if I need to, or I can sit on if the grass is wet, like in New York. A couple of friends and I put out a trash bag. We put out actually a Mylar blanket, one of those space blankets, to sit on because the ground is cold. You don't be sitting in mud or cold ground before a race. You want to stay warm.
It makes sense.
Put that down. But I also use a trash bag to bring home any wet clothes or sweaty, smelly, gross clothes so they don't touch all my other stuff. Or if your shoes are muddy, you can stick those in your trash bag. That might be something people don't really think about. And then my last thing that I want to mention that most people don't think about is toilet paper. Now that sounds funny, but there have been times when you go into the porta potties and they're just out. So you can either bring a roll and just leave it in the porta potty, or you can like take your hand and kind of wrap toilet paper around your hand, make a couple to go grab and go things of toilet paper and just put them in a Ziploc to take with you to the start line. Now, luckily during a race, I've not had an issue with them being out of toilet paper, but definitely beforehand and or after. I feel like after is not quite as big of a deal because you can go back to the hotel or the Airbnb to go to the bathroom, but you definitely want to make sure you bring some toilet paper.
Yeah, I've heard many people mention that, which is super helpful usually for the gentleman, at least if you're doing number one, you know, it's not an issue. But for the ladies, yes, I've heard toilet paper is a big one that you don't want to forget about. But yeah, guys, in just to kind of summarize here, like today we really provided you a travel guide essentially for your next like destination raise. And Coach Whitney really outlined like a 4-step guide. So you can conquer, you know, that race travel. And the first was really making the travel arrangements early, right? And then also making your reservations. So not only for the travel, so flight, hotel, rental car, all of that, but then also your meals and or any other activities that you're going to wind up, you know, needing during that weekend that you are enjoying this race. And then making lists, the packing list is like, yeah, key. I agree, because there's always something I forget. You know, your bib boards, right? Like stuff like, you know, there's just so many things. Yes. The chapstick to put on your eyebrows. Yes, absolutely. I start like weeks in advance of just putting everything almost like in a pile, but I like your method of making the list and then like, you know, sticking to that list. And then, you know, the travel day specific tips that you provided were so clutch and, you know, will be super, super helpful for those listening. So Coach Whitney, you know, thank you as always for coming back on the show and educating our community about, you know, these race travel tips that you have compiled. I greatly appreciate it.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure. I love sharing, I say my wealth of knowledge. I don't know if it's a wealth of knowledge, but I like sharing my knowledge with anybody that wants to hear, wants to listen, or wants to know more.
Yeah, it's all about, right? We all learn and grow in our journey here. And we're just, you know, sharing things that we've experienced, that we've learned along the way. So, you know, we can hopefully help you and not make any mistakes that we made where we forgot stuff for travel. And it's just a matter of like, you know, wherever you are in your running journey, like we've been there, right? Like Coach Winnie mentioned, she's an adult onset runner like me. So we definitely have been to that first travel race that we had or, you know, the beginning of our race journey and, you know, made all of the mistakes and we learned from them. And that's what we do here is just share those with you. And these will certainly be helpful because, like I said, I even picked things up, you know, that you shared today. So I greatly appreciate that. And I appreciate you, the listener, for listening, whether you're tuning in to the podcast or you're watching the video version on our Spark Healthy Runner YouTube channel. If you enjoyed it, if you learned something, copy the link, like share it with someone you know who's going to be traveling for their next race. I'm sure they will, you know, be able to take a couple of golden nuggets that they learned here today. And then friendly reminder, get your download, our race day blueprint. That will be super helpful for you where we actually give you a PDF of, you know, the checklist. We give you a PDF of how to make your race plan so you can fill it out yourself, customize it to your specific race. And if you want to get like structure of how to actually train for your race, that you have this big destination race that you invested in and you want to be able to get stronger, get faster and be able to crush your race, like, you know, you can learn more about our one-on-one signature Healthy Runner coaching program, just go to learn.sparkhealthyrunner.com/coaching to learn more about that. And if you like this training, then you will surely like the next on Race Day Strategy, 10 tips to crush your next race. So if you're listening to this on the pod, cue up episode 118, all about race day prep, including your 10 must-do tips from Coach Whitney. Or if you're watching this in YouTube, then just click the video that I'm going to have for you right here for you next. And as always, let's maintain a strong mind, a strong body, and let's just keep on running. Until next time. Thank you, as always, for listening to the Healthy Runner podcast, where we help you get stronger, run faster, and enjoy lifelong injury-free running. If you found this content valuable, here's 5 ways we can help you grow as a runner for free. 1, grab a free copy of my Spark Blueprint at learn.sparkhealthyrunner.com. 2, follow my Instagram page at Spark Healthy Runner. 3, join my free group by searching Healthy Runner on Facebook. 4, subscribe to my YouTube channel at youtube.com/sparkhealthyrunner. 5, leave us a 5-star review so we can gain access to more experts in the running field and bring those lessons back to you here. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button on Apple Podcast or the follow button on Spotify so you don't miss the next episode of Healthy Runner, so you can maintain a strong mind, a strong body, and just keep running. Lastly, if you've been struggling with the constant injury cycle, not eating the right foods for running, or not getting faster as a runner, and you are ready to invest in becoming a lifelong injury-free runner, head to sparkhealthyrunner.com to apply for a one-on-one signature coaching program. Thank you again. I mean it from the bottom of my heart that I appreciate you for listening and sharing this podcast with a running friend who can use the help. Now go and crush your run today. See you next week.